মঙ্গল যশোদ নন্দন ব্রজ জনরঞ্জন যমুনা তীর বন চাহরে যমুনা তীর বন চাহরে তাই রাধা মাধব কুন্দ বিহারে রাধ মাধব কুঞ্জ বিহরে গোপী জন্ম বাল্লব গিরিবর ধরে গোপী জন্ম বাল্লব গিরিবর ধরে যশোদ নন্দন ব্রজ জনরঞ্জন যশোদ নন্দন ব্রজ জনরঞ্জন যমুনা তীর বন চাহরে যমুনা তীর বন চাহরে যমুনা তীর বন চাহরে যমুনা তীর বন চাহরে श्री हरि नाम संकीर्तन यज्ञ की जाय। श्री श्री राध माधव श्री श्री किशोर किशोरी की जाय। ग्रंथराज श्रीमद् भागवतम की जाय। देवेंद्र भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्रोतोपाद की जाय। कौंगरो वृंद की जाय। समवेत भक्त वृंद की जाय। निताई गौ प्रेमानंदे हरे कृष्ण। So it seems like we have very enthusiastic group of devotees here. Where are you coming from? Oh, okay. Okay. Good. Welcome to Chicago. Hare Krishna. So today we are continuing reading from the 10th canto, 15th chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled The Killing of Dhenuka, the Ass Demon. And today we'll start reading from text 22, which is on board. Om Agyanti Varandasya Gyanandana Shavakaya Chukshuran Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovishtam Stapitam Yena Butre Swayam Rupa Kadam Hem Dadati Swaparantikam Vanchakao Butarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Devacha Patitanam Pavanepya Vaishnavepya Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shiva Sati Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Bhutai Mahatprema Puro Vibhur Nirmaya Kshati Adma Shuparusha Vungta Gunan Sudasa Sadasmaka Lankrishishta Bhagavan Vacham Shime Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. फलानि तत्र बुरीनि फलानि तत्र भूरीनि पतन्ति पतितानि च पतन्ति पतितानि च संति की अवरुद्धानि संति किंतु अवरुद्धानि देनुका देनुकिना दुरात्मना देनुकिना दुरात्मना फलानि तत्र भूरिनि पतन्ति पतितानि च संति किन्नावरुधने देनुकेना दुरात्माना हरि बोल फलानि तत्र भूरिनि पतन्ति पतितानि च संति किन्दावरुदने देनुकिना दुरात्मना फलानि तत्र भूरिनि पतन्ति पतितानि च संति किन्दावरुदने देनुकिना दुरात्मना ధ్వని శాంతికి నవరుధని దేనుకేనా దురాత్మన Phalani, the fruits, tatra, there, burini, very many, patanti, are falling, patitani, have already fallen, cha, and, santi, they are, kintu, However, avaruddhani kept under control. Dhenukena by Dhenuka. Doratmana, the evil one. Translation prepared by the disciples of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. In that Talavan forest, many fruits are falling from the trees and many are already lying on the ground, but all the fruits are being guarded by the evil Dhenuka. Purport, the demon Dhenuka would not allow anyone to eat the delicious ripe palm fruits of the Talavan, and Krishna's young boyfriends protested this unjust usurpation of the right to enjoy the fruits of a public forest. Text 23. Sati virya sura rama he krishna khara rupadrik atmatulya balair anyair kyati bhir bahubir britam. O Rama, O Krishna, Dhenuka is a most powerful demon and has assumed the form of an ass. He is surrounded by many friends who have assumed a similar shape and who are just as powerful as he. Text 24. Tasmat krita naradarat butair niripi amritahan न सेव्यते पशु गणय पक्षी संगर विभाजितम। The demon Dhenuka has eaten man alive, and therefore all people or animals are terrified of going to the Tala forest. O killer of the enemy, even the birds are afraid to fly there. Purport: the coward boyfriends of Lord Krishna and Lord Balaram encouraged the two brothers to go at once to the Tala forest and kill the ass demon. Indeed, here they address the brothers as Amitrahan, killer of the enemy. The coward boys were engaged in ecstatic meditation upon the potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and reasoned thus: Krishna has already killed terrible demons like Baka and Agha, so what is so special about this obnoxious jackass named Dhenuka, who has become public enemy number one in Vrindavan? The coward boys wanted Krishna and Balaram to kill the demons so that all the pious inhabitants of Vrindavan could enjoy the fruits in the Tala forest. Thus they requested the special favor that the ass demons be killed. So we'll read translations of the verses again. In that Talavan forest, many fruits are falling from the trees and many are already lying on the ground, but all the fruits are being guarded by the evil Dhenuka. O Rama, O Krishna, Dhenuka is a most powerful demon and has assumed the form of an ass. He is surrounded by many friends who have assumed a similar shape and who are just as powerful as he. The demon Dhenuka has eaten man alive, and therefore all people and animals are terrified of going to the Tala forest. O killer of the enemy, even the birds are afraid to fly there. So yesterday we've started the discussion about Krishna's pastimes as a calf herder when he was 3 years old, and he was herding calves for 3 years until he turned six, and then he became big enough to herd actually the cows. And they enjoy different pastimes in the forest, and they come across another demon whom, as we've discussed yesterday, Yoga Maya is allowing to enter into Krishna's pastimes just to interrupt these pastimes on time for either lunch or going back home. So demons are very useful creatures. And here we see another such demon as Dhenukasura. And today we also have a disappearance anniversary of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and he is describing in his Sri Chaitanya Shikshamrita that all these demons Krishna killed in the pastimes. Well, in this case, this demon was killed by Balaram, and we'll explain why not Krishna, why Balaram. And so all these demons are actually representing different obstacles on the path of devotional service, and so we can understand the relevance of these pastimes to our development of Krishna consciousness, and that we are actually already participating in Krishna's pastimes, struggling with all the obstacles on the path of our bhakti. And specifically he describes that Dhenuka Asura is representing the mode of ignorance, which is the first obstacle, the very first demon killed by Krishna was Putana. So Putana represents materialistic mind or bewilderment in following some false gurus, etc. But materialistic mind is obstacle number one. Dhenuka is really major obstacle major anartha, representing mode of ignorance, and actually very interesting how in the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam it is explained tada rajas tamo bhava kama lobadayashaya chatayatayana vidham stita sati prasidati, that in the process of devotional service one becomes free from the modes of passion and ignorance, and corresponding qualities of kama and lobha, lust and greed. And we can understand that lust is connected to mode of passion and greed is connected to the mode of ignorance. And so we can see how Denukasura represents ignorance. Asses are naturally very ignorant animals, right? As Srila Prabhupada mentions many times. And so this is how ignorance is manifested in greed, not sharing any fruits with anyone, not eating those fruits, because Denukasura apparently was not a vegetarian. He was actually eating man, he was, you know, man-eater. So, and we can understand that fruits are kind of based in the mode of goodness, and so people like that, they don't actually like the taste of goodness. They like something rotten, something, you know. And yeah, he is not so much interested in those fruits himself, but he's not allowing anyone else to enjoy those fruits. And so Bhaktivinoda Thakur actually explains that by contemplating on the pastimes, we can become free from the anarthas, which are personified, which these demons are personifying. So by contemplating on this pastime, we have an opportunity to become free from ignorance and greed, which is very major obstacle in Krishna consciousness. Not desiring to share anything good with anyone else, but just to grab it on and try to enjoy, or even if we don't enjoy, we just hold on to it just in case. And so yeah, it's very interesting how these boys are saying palani tatra bhurini, that there are so many nice fruits there, patanti patitani cha, but some fruits already fallen on the ground, patitani, and other fruits are about to fall, patanti. And Krishna is known as Patita Pavana, savior of the fallen. And so here the boys are petitioning, Krishna, can you sort it out? So many fruits are falling. And so can you save those fruits for us? We would like to enjoy those fruits by killing this demon. And so it's very interesting. We've mentioned that it was not Krishna at the end who killed this Denuka demon, but he was actually killed by Lord Balaram. Other scriptures such as Garga Samhita and I think Brahmanda Purana, one of the Puranas, are describing more details to how it all happened, that actually both Krishna and Balaram were fighting with Denukasura, but ultimately it was Balaram who killed Denuka. And the reason being that Krishna actually gave a promise to Prahlad Maharaj that he will never kill anyone belonging to his lineage. And Denuka was actually belonging to Hiranyakashipu lineage. And so because Krishna wanted to keep his promise intact, he allowed Balaram to kill the demon, which is a very tricky way. Break your promise without breaking it. Because Balaram is kind of non-different from Krishna. But no one could blame Krishna that he killed that demon. Anyway, Krishna is very smart, we can understand. But the interesting thing which was mentioned in the purport to the previous verse is that that Taliban is situated halfway between Mathura and Govardhan geographically. And actually when there was a fight between Krishna and Denukasura, as Garga Samhita describes, Denukasura, just to give you an idea that it was not just an ordinary ass, it was very powerful demon. Denuka actually picked Govardhan Hill up and threw at Krishna, trying to, you know, smash him with the Govardhan Hill. And then Krishna caught Govardhan Hill and threw Giriraj back at Denukasura. And so for a while they were, you know, like playing this tennis kind of thing, throwing Govardhan Hill at each other. And then Krishna decided, okay, enough is enough. And then he caught Govardhan Hill and he put it on the side. And then they kept fighting in different ways. It's a very interesting description, but it gives us an idea how powerful Denukasura was. And that's why it's described that everyone was afraid of him. Even the birds were horrified. They didn't want to fly through that forest. And Balaram, as we understand, represents Guru. He's Adiguru, he's the spiritual master. And that's why Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that if we are serious and sincere in Krishna consciousness, then by our strong desire and petitioning to Balaram, who is the Adiguru, we can, by the strength of following the spiritual master's instructions, can overcome the ignorance which we are affected by. And so yes, greed is a serious obstacle on the path of Krishna consciousness. And how do we overcome greed? Actually, Narada Muni explains in the seventh canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, in the end of the seventh canto, that of all the, just referring to Bhagavad Gita's statement that there are three pathways leading to hell, right? Lust, anger and greed, and all the sane people should stay away from these things. And so he's discussing these three major anarthas: lust, anger and greed. And he says, even though lust and anger are bad, but still, if someone is lusty and then one satisfies his lust, at least temporarily the lust is subdued. Or if someone is angry and one expresses one's anger, shouts or does something, then at least temporarily the anger is subdued. But greed is such a horrible anartha, the more you satisfy greed, the more it grows. It's never satiated. There is one joke that one man comes to the doctor and he says, "Doctor, could you please give me some pills for my greed, but give me as many as you can. Like that. So greed is just unstoppable. And that's why it's connected to the mode of ignorance. And actually, Bhagavad Gita is giving perfect remedies for all the three anarthas, because after discussing those in chapter 16 of Bhagavad Gita in connection to the demoniac characters, demoniac qualities, and definitely Dhenukasura very much represents the demoniac mentality, then in chapter 17 and also 18, Krishna is giving the remedy against lust, anger, and greed. So what do you do? Then there are three most powerful practices which can help us to overcome these three anarthas. And what are these three practices? Anyone knows? What does the chapter 17 focuses on? What are the three most important activities we should engage in order to advance spiritually, and with, which actually counteract the lust, anger, and greed automatically? Well, if you read Bhagavad Gita, you're supposed to know, yeah. Well, that is there, but it gives three other specific activities. Actually, these are like the guiding principles in human life. Very good, yes. Sacrifice, charity, and penance. So, chapter 17 discusses those at length, and then chapter 18 also highlights the importance of those. And so we can understand, yeah, that Krishna says in chapter 18, Yagya dana tapa karma pavanani manishanam, that these three activities purify even great souls. Even if we consider ourselves great souls due to serving Krishna and many other reasons. There are many reasons to consider ourselves to be great. Of course, it is also dangerous, because real Krishna consciousness means Trinada Pisunichana, Tarura Pisahishnana, Amani Namanadena Kirtanya Sadahari. The three most important qualities the devotee should strive to develop is humility, tolerance, and respect. And only upon developing those one can dedicate oneself to constant chanting of the holy name, which means unbroken devotional service. But even if we consider ourselves great souls, or even if we happen to be great souls, then Krishna says, still, everyone must follow this. Because even great souls can be contaminated by the influence of material energy, as unfortunately we have seen through and through. Maya is very powerful, and it can influence anyone. And these three most dangerous anarthas, lust, anger, and greed, are purified by yagya, dana, and tapa. Naturally, lust means, in a broader sense, desire to enjoy, right? But yagya means activity which brings Krishna enjoyment, which brings pleasure to Krishna. And so, dana means charity, and that's a perfect counter remedy, or well, countermeasure, or perfect remedy for greed. How do you get rid of greed? Just engage yourself in charitable activities. Give rather than take, right? Greed means taking, and dana means giving. And tapa, self-control, self-discipline, is natural remedy for anger, because anger means uncontrolled senses. So we can understand that if we want to become rid of Dhenuka in our hearts, then we should be focused on giving to Krishna, and giving to Krishna, giving to his devotees, giving to the spiritual master, and ultimately giving, benefiting everyone, giving to everyone. So, but how can you be always giving? Well, we're supposed to be getting also. And that's why, giving is not happening without getting. But you can get anything in life if you focused on giving, in the same way as the river never stops its flow, because river is both giving and getting all the time. And of course we can see the best example for us is Srila Prabhupada coming to America with 40 rupees and after a few years ending up with 40 crores of rupees. Someone calculated that in just 11 years of his preaching, he got more than $3 billion worth of assets and funds. And he was actually very excited about it. If you listen to Srila Prabhupada's comments or conversations, oftentimes he was telling people that this is how much money we're getting every day and how much we're spending every day. But focus on giving. This was Srila Prabhupada's hallmark. And it is very interesting that because of that giving, constantly giving, the turnout in ISKCON became so unbelievable that when Srila Prabhupada was already preparing himself to leave this world, and Tamal Krishna Maharaj came to him and he said, "Srila Prabhupada, we have so much money coming in." Believe it or not, this was the reality in ISKCON in 1977. He said, "We got so much money coming in, like millions of dollars a month. We don't know what to do with it. We don't know, how to spend it." And interesting thing, Srila Prabhupada said, "Don't hold on to it. Don't store it. Just spend it as quickly as you can. If you don't know what to spend it for, just send it to some backward country, let them spend it there, but don't hold on to it, don't conserve it." And so, this indicates Srila Prabhupada's mentality. And actually, if we are always focused on giving, then, Krishna is the wealthiest of all. So there is no shortage of anything. That's why both Srila Prabhupada and Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati were saying that there is, in this world, there is no shortage of anything except Krishna consciousness, right? Because Krishna consciousness means Svastyasti Vishwasa Kala Prasidatam Nayanti Bhutani Shivamito Diya Manascha Badram Bhajata Adokshaje Aveshyatam Namatir Apya Haituki. This is Prahlad Maharaj's prayer to Nrisingadev, appearing in the fifth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. I think this is the chapter of prayers of the residents of Jambudvipa, because Prahlad Maharaj also residing at Jambudvipa. And he says, "Svasti astu," let there be peace. Let everyone be satisfied, and all over the world, all over the universe, Vishwasa, and Kala Prasidatam, and let all the envious people become satisfied also. Let there be peace and prosperity for all, and let all the envious people come down. Dayanti Bhutani Shivami Todiya, and let everyone is thinking about the welfare of others, right? Instead of focusing on myself, let me think of others. Shivami Todiya, let me think how others can be benefited. Manascha Bhadram Bhajatada Dakshaja, that this is only possible when there is an auspicious mentality created by Bhajadat Atokshaje, by worshipping the Supreme Lord, by serving the Supreme Lord. Aveshitam namatirapya haituki. And so then everyone will be acting completely selflessly. So selflessness is an opposite of selfishness or greed or and all these anarthas. And so this is what pure devotees like Prahlad Maharaj desire for the world, and they're actually thinking of the benefit of every single living entity. And so we might not have such a broad-minded mentality as Prahlad Maharaj, thinking of the benefit of every living entity, like rats and cockroaches, how to benefit them. But at least, because Krishna is saying in Canto 11 that of all the species of life, the most dear to me is human form. And so because humans are so dear to Krishna, and so if Krishna is dear to us, we should at least think how to benefit human beings. And of course the very least, how to benefit devotees. What can we do for devotees? So that is at least the beginning of Krishna consciousness, right? How can I benefit the devotees? How can I support devotees in their service to Krishna? How can I take that responsibility? And yes, if we desire it strongly enough, then Krishna will give all the opportunities. Naturally, Krishna consciousness is not meant to be kind of isolated from the world, because Krishna consciousness is actually meant to benefit the world, as Prabhupada indicates in the first purpose of ISKCON, to systematically propagate spiritual knowledge to society at large and educate all people in the techniques of spiritual life in order to check the imbalance of values in life and achieve real unity and peace in the world. So huge, huge, huge purpose. But yet he expected the devotees to contribute to that purpose. And I was actually thinking that this is much more challenging purpose than even going to the spiritual world, right? Because what this purpose indicates is that devotees supposed to create spiritual world out of the material world. Because real unity and peace means, you know, this world should become as good as spiritual world. And of course, you know, escape into the spiritual world is much easier than staying in here and making spiritual world out of the material world. And so sometimes we might even look at this purpose and think, how could Srila Prabhupada, you know, think about that it is is it achievable at all? But we can understand if Srila Prabhupada wants it, that means Lord Chaitanya wants it. And he is the Lord and Master of this age. And that's why if we want it, and if we work sincerely and seriously, we can make that happen. Lord Chaitanya will help to make us, help us to make that happen. And so, actually, the original purpose of Srila Prabhupada's coming to the Western world to save the planet. And some devotees think, oh, this is too ambitious, this is too high. But if we are to follow in Srila Prabhupada's footsteps, we are meant to think big. Because Srila Prabhupada said, this was always my problem. I could never think small. I could only think big. And so, as genuine Prabhupada's followers, we are meant to think big and focus on the biggest purpose of ISKCON and actually try and make it happen. Try to establish systems. Actually, if you think about it, that do we have systems or can we really establish systems? Do we have potential to establish systems through which we can propagate spiritual knowledge? Not really. Because, you know, how do you deal with 8 billion people? How do you propagate spiritual knowledge to 8 billion people? But actually, government structure has all the systems in place, everything. And that's why Srila Prabhupada explains in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, this is the last purport to the chapter 17, Punishment and Reward of Kali. He says, there must be a complete cooperation between Brahmanas and Kshatriyas for the common good. And then he gives famous example of Maharaj Ashok. And he said, without government support, or without state support, he says, no doctrine or philosophy can ever become accepted and recognized. So that is the suggestion from Srila Prabhupada. How do we execute or achieve the first purpose of ISKCON? By working in collaboration with government programs. Because if we want to benefit the public at large, then these are the people who are concerned about benefiting the public. And even though they are doing that materially, but they cannot achieve sustainable results because people's consciousness is not changed by their approach. But Krishna consciousness is the best way to positively affect people's consciousness. And so we have, as Prabhupada said, techniques of spiritual life, or Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj defined that as spiritual technologies. And so we are meant to use spiritual technologies to help people to change their consciousness and benefit them on a wide scale. And you know, if people are benefited, then naturally we can get full government support, because that's their duty, to benefit people. And this is why they are collecting so much money, billions of dollars. But because they themselves, to the most part, are ignorant of spiritual truths, and they have no idea about the techniques of spiritual life, then, you know, all these billions of dollars, not just wasted, but, you know, used for very harmful purposes. sometimes. Actually, most of the time. Like, if you think about it, why meat eating is so popular on the planet, and Prabhupada was very clear that meat eaters can never understand God. Actually, the reason is, actually meat is much more expensive than vegetarian produce. But the reason why it is so cheap in the shop, it is so affordable, is very simple. Because every single year, American government alone pumps $38 billion into animal agriculture in forms of subsidies. So they subsidize meat production. Why? Because they have this stupid idea coming from some doctors, unfortunately majority of doctors, that meat is good for you. And that's why they think, okay, if meat is good for people, then let us subsidize meat production. $38 billion a year. I mean, you can calculate, divide 38 billion into 365. You can understand how many millions of dollars are going into meat, into subsidizing meat for Americans alone. And just to give you a comparison, subsidies for vegetarian produce are only a little bit over $17 million a year. So 17 million against 38 billion, right? 1 billion equals 2,000 millions. And so this is the reason. Just remove those subsidies, and most of Americans will automatically go vegetarian just for economical reasons. And so this is the game, that actually we're, you know, struggling so much trying to go from the bottom up, but because the system is so ignorant, you know, there are so many denukas, badasses in the system, and so they prevent positive growth. But it's very important to remember that our approach is not aroha. It's not meant to go from the bottom up. Our approach is supposed to be avaroha, going to the top, and then from the top going to the bottom, which is much easier. And that's the reason why Srila Prabhupada was striving so much, both in India and upon arriving to United States, to establish collaboration with the world leaders. Because he knew these are the people who push the buttons. And so with one push of the button, they can change the lives of millions and millions of people. So you just affect the consciousness of one person, and that will be equal to benefiting millions of people. And actually, this was the reason why he came to United States, because United States is the world power, and that's the reason why he established himself in New York and very close to United Nations headquarters. So that was the whole Srila Prabhupada's plan, and it's very important for us to understand Srila Prabhupada's plan and to act to help him to execute it. Because, I mean, he didn't just come to, you know, add one more exotic religious denomination to the long list. I think there are 10,000 of religions in the world, according to the statistics. So, okay, 10,001 Hare Krishna. So Prabhupada didn't come to America for that. He didn't sacrifice himself for that sake. And so it's really important for us, especially for Americans, to understand Srila Prabhupada's plan and to act in a very systematic way to try to help this plan to be executed. And unfortunately, I mean,
if you go around, as I do, many temples, many of our temples don't even have communications department and interfaith department, which are probably the two most important departments we're supposed to be focusing on in terms of developing, you know, our influence on a massive scale, which is an indication that there is not much understanding of what Srila Prabhupada wanted and why he was focusing so much on interfaith and communications. Practically every single place he would come, he was demanding that devotees bring him world leaders, that he wanted to meet with other faith leaders, etc., because he was focused on his first purpose, along with other things. But this was really major focus. But unfortunately, after this, after his departure, this focus is lost to a larger extent. And that's why we are suffering from all the Dhenukas, badasses outside, and, you know, have to live in a very ignorant environment. And if we want to change it, then we have to figure out how to do it. And my humble effort in that direction is establishing IDEAL training in Mayapur. IDEAL stands for innovative development to empower authentic leaders. And so we are inviting professional devotees with leadership capacity to take that series of training courses from practically the best professional devotees on the planet, who all coming and giving their training courses to our students. And the idea is that devotees could establish their own social spiritual projects to contribute to the first purpose of ISKCON, which is not difficult. It takes little time, but it's not difficult to do, to establish yourself as spiritual entrepreneur. And so if you are interested in that, you can ask me individually. I can give you more information. But yes, that, you know, so many leaders I'm talking, they all understand that unless and until we are integrated into the society, we can't really influence the society to the extent Srila Prabhupada wanted. And so that's why, unfortunately, in many places, ISKCON is turning into a neo-Hindu kind of religious group, which is not really what Srila Prabhupada wanted to see. Of course, we are very happy with Indians taking part in the movement, but we should not take advantage of Indians and their good wishing, well wishing, just to live, you know, in a cozy spiritual religious environment and do nothing to actually serve Srila Prabhupada's desires. So yeah, this is my understanding how we can deal with Dhenukasuras inside and outside of us, because that's a huge obstacle on the path of spiritual advancement for all of us. Ignorance. All right, so Hare Krishna. Thank you all for listening. And yes, question?
Remember, reading or hearing Prabhupada writer say that if you have 100 of these buses, Rao Damodar type buses, distributing books, then you have a chance to take over the government. And ever since I saw that, I've wanted to take over the government since I was younger. And, you know, because, I mean, you have your approach, and I'm definitely not knocking, it's wonderful. But I'm wondering, should we have a two-way approach? Or is one better than the other? 100 buses filled with devotees distributing books is not too difficult, hopefully.
Yeah, there is no contradiction. We can have the traditional ways of spreading Krishna consciousness, book distribution, harinams, and prasadam. And yet, at the same time, we can understand that as long as we act outside of the system, outside of the established structure, it will be very difficult for us to influence it, because we remain aliens. You know, the way people perceive us as kind of little strange exotic cult who is trying to sell them books, and you know, it's like most people, they just look at the title Srimad Bhagavatam, you know, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, and they understand, okay, I'll probably leave it for now because you know, it's like really hard for them to, without the devotee association, even understand what Prabhupada books are talking about. And plus, you know, important people have very little time to even look at it. And so our preaching, I mean, in the beginning it had it piqued the interest of the public, because you know, the times Srila Prabhupada arrived to the United States were the times where anything countercultural was very popular. And so Hare Krishnas appeared to be very countercultural, and so Hare Krishnas became very popular. But the times have changed. We are not living in the 20th century anymore. And so it's really important to understand what are the trends of the 21st century. And people are actually looking down at countercultural approach now. And so we can see by the results that, you know, and plus this countercultural approach is not very productive. We can see that the movement had a lot of troubles after Prabhupada left, because you know, if it is a religious kind of group which is acting in isolation from the society at large, then there is a lot of power struggle within that religious group. Who will become the next spiritual guide for the, you know, masses of ignorant people within this group? And so, unfortunately, that didn't help us, that power struggle which appeared in ISKCON after Prabhupada left. So, you know, there are many, many factors we should look at to understand why Krishna consciousness was thriving at Prabhupada times and then plummeted down very seriously. And you know, I mean, without the support of Indian community, we would not exist even. So at a certain time they just came to the rescue of the movement. And so networking always helps, and isolation always destroys. And so yes, that traditional ways of preaching are okay, but we should understand what can we do to establish collaboration with the system, rather than, you know, trying to be countercultural and, you know, prove ourselves to be the best. And then people look at our performance, you know, like one devotee, he preached to very high government officials about how amazing Krishna consciousness is, etc. And they got very impressed. And this was the Ministry of Home Affairs. And they said, yeah, come back tomorrow and we'll see how we can work with you. you seem to be very wonderful people. But then they check the, you know, background of what's happening. And when he came next, they started asking so many questions, very hard questions, about the history of the movement. And he had very difficult time answering those questions. So, but the most important thing to understand that all these problems can only appear because of the isolation. And we don't have to, you know, like, work very hard to isolate ourselves from the public, because we are dressed differently, our lifestyle is different, our language, you know, like ISKCON jargon, as Gaurgopal Prabhu says, that's a horrible thing, you know, which, you know, prevents people from even understanding what we're talking about. And everything. So unless we work to establish collaboration with the society, society will never in millions of years be able to understand what we're about and what we're trying to do. Because it's too different. Yes, Prabhu. Microphone.
I have a little difficulty accepting and understanding that it is due to the difference in times or we are being isolated from society that they're not accepting us. Because the message of Krishna consciousness is universal.
Yes.
And people out there are suffering due to ignorance.
Yes.
We are trying to bring them Krishna consciousness.
Yes.
And we are offering an alternative lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not offering them an alternative lifestyle, we try to adjust ourselves to their lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
How is that going to change things?
Yes. Absolutely, that our remedies are powerful and our message is very relevant to the problems, but the problem is the package.
What?
Package. The form we are presenting Krishna consciousness in. And
like you were saying, we dress differently, we have eat
not
different.
Necessarily, no.
That's what you said. So not, we should not, dress differently then? We should dress like
not,
the...
Not necessarily that the we're talking about the external differences. Because then, people don't really care about external differences so much. You know, it's multicultural society, so people are fine with people dressed in different ways and different cuisines and everything. But I would say the greatest disadvantage of the package is that Krishna consciousness is presented in a religious package. And if we change that religious into spiritual package...
Who's representing ourselves as a...
Sorry?
Who is representing Krishna consciousness as a religion? We never say that.
Yes.
This is not a religion. This is a science of self-realization. We never represent ourselves as a religion, we never represent ourselves as Hindu culture whatsoever. Self-realization. We're not Hindu, Muslim, Christian, etc.
Yes, but then we have to ask...
I don't understand why you're saying that.
Yeah, we have to ask ourselves question why people perceive us in this way. Why people perceive us as an exotic cult. We're not representing ourselves like that, but why people's perception is like that. So that's a very good
they
question.
They may have an external perception, but when you come in contact with a devotee and explains who we are, and they say, oh, okay, I can accept that. I like that. It's not because we're representing ourselves in a traditional way that they misunderstand us. It's because they, first of all, they don't know who we are.
Yeah.
Well, even then, I don't think that's a general, you know, idea people have of us.
Yeah, if you look at other groups and how they manage to make an impact, larger impact on the society, and not even with different spiritual techniques, with the same spiritual technique, like, you know, Hare Krishna mantra is very, very popular, chanting of Hare Krishna. I know that this is something you're specializing on, and so that's something which would be most relevant for you. then, you know, it's a good question to ask why, you know, singers who do not belong to ISKCON, but they chant Hare Krishna and they popularize chanting of Hare Krishna, are so widely accepted. And actually, the Hare Krishna mantra is attributed to them more than to ISKCON at the moment.
I can tell you why.
Yes.
Krishnadas, for example.
Yes.
Very, very popular.
Yes.
He's a beef lover. He's eating meat, cow meat.
Okay.
And he doesn't propose any principles.
Okay.
But the people come to us. We explain them. We have to follow 480 principles, etc., etc., to get the real gem, the real diamond.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we're not so popular. It's not because we're representing something wrong. I mean, if you want to be popular, you know, Led Zeppelin is popular, or, you know, I can see so many material examples are popular, but they're not representing pure principles of Krishna consciousness. That's why we're not popular. In 1977, Srila Prabhupada said, we have enough devotees now, so now you should concentrate boiling down the milk, cooking the milk, and make it into, you know, kheer, sweet rice, condense, purify our devotees, not add water to the milk and add water to the milk to make more and more kanishta adhikaris and
yes,
make, you know, prakriti bhaktas until the milk, you know, just becomes water. What's the use?
Yes.
I mean, I walked into a temple, so-called temple, I don't want to say names, and I see an ocean of people there, and they're chanting Hare Krishna. But they all like yoga, sentimental, you know, girls, and they're hugging each other and love and love. And they all have misconception of who is Krishna. They all have Mayavadi impersonal ideas. So just like saying everybody's chanting Hare Krishna, this is we should look at them. But they have an impersonal idea. They have no desire whatsoever to surrender to Krishna ever. I question, and I'm not a question, I'm convinced this is not the wrong approach. We should boil down the milk and make ourselves proper. And to, you know, to say that we are not successful in preaching because we have the wrong approach, I think that we should look at ourselves and be honest with ourselves that we haven't become pure devotees. Because when you surrender and you become, then you get the bhakti shakti necessary, you know, to empower you to distribute Krishna. Unless you don't have Krishna, you cannot distribute Krishna. No matter what kind of material adjustments you try to make.
Well, this boiling the milk analogy is very interesting, and of course everyone understands differently what does it mean to boil the milk. And Srila Prabhupada gave another analogy which is very interesting and in line with that, that, you know, you mentioned that we don't need too many, not too many people will appreciate the real thing. And he gave the analogy of diamonds, that selling diamonds will never be as popular as selling cheap imitation, right? Everyone knows this analogy. And this analogy is understood in such a way that, okay, Krishna consciousness is never meant to be taken by too many people seriously, which is kind of in line with Manushyanam Sahasrishu principle from Bhagavad Gita, that only one out of thousand might be interested, and of all the thousands interested, one might become a devotee, etc. But in this analogy, and this is really deep analogy Srila Prabhupada gave, diamonds, we can understand that even though very few people can afford diamonds, because diamonds are expensive, and the price, of course, for the principles and becoming very serious in Krishna consciousness, as you mentioned, that's given. But the important thing in this analogy is to take into consideration that even though very few people can afford diamonds, but so many people value diamonds. Everybody values diamonds. Everyone understands the value of the diamonds, and people dream of having diamonds. And so that analogy is to help us understand that even though it is true that Srila Prabhupada never expected, you know, massively that people become very serious devotees of Krishna, following everything, but he wanted every single person on the planet to say that Hare Krishnas are amazing people. Even though, you know, I'm too weak and I would never be able to become like Hare Krishnas, but this is my dream, that one day I would love to be like Hare Krishna. And so, you know, it's like lately I've been in Italy. Luckily I escaped from there before the heat wave came. But devotees showed me a video clip published or taken and published by a minister of home affairs in Italy. And, you know, he just filmed Harinam, and then his comment over the Harinam was that the Hare Krishnas are the best people I came across, and if I would have to take birth again, I would love to be a Hare Krishna. And so that video clip was watched by millions of people. And so this kind of appreciation is exactly in line with what Srila Prabhupada was looking at. And so reputation is the key. And so we should, this is how this movement will be respected and popular all over the world. And so we should think about our reputation as first and foremost thing in life, and think what can we do to improve on our reputation, which is not, unfortunately, the best at the moment. Give power to professional devotees with leadership capacity. And, you know, one thing which destroys the reputation of the movement on the root is inability to deal with people, you know. And Srila Prabhupada was actually telling the devotees, after he was pretty frustrated with all the problems devotees had, that your permanent problems are sex desire and fighting with each other. And, you know, one thing I've noticed in professional people is that they are very well trained in properly dealing with everyone. You know, because if you want business, you have to make sure that your relationships are perfect. And if you look at it, the major difference between Kanishtha, Madhyama and Uttama is only one. They all believe in Krishna, they all chant Hare Krishna, but the difference is that Kanishtha cannot deal with anybody. He is only respecting Krishna and that's it. He cannot have proper relationships with anyone else. And Madhyama, he knows how to relate to devotees, how to relate to innocent people, even demons. He's not hating them. He's just understanding, okay, these guys, they had a bad time, so better I stay away from them. But Uttama is so perfect, he can even deal with demons in a proper way. In such a way, you know, like Sikh Goswami's of Vrindavana described as Dhira Dhira Jana Priyo Raghu Yuga Nirmatsaro Pujito, that they were dear to gentle and ruffians. Why? Because Nirmatsaro Pujito, because they were engaged in worshipping the Lord with not a single trace of envy in their heart. And so that's why, you know, my conviction is that if power is given to professional devotees with leadership capacity, they can show the best example of what Krishna consciousness can offer to the world and what spiritual technologies can do to help people. And then, you know, the reputation of our movement will be established on solid grounds. But as long as we're playing in these religious games, who will be the next acharya, who will be the guide of the ignorant people, you know, I'm the enlightened one here, right? And everyone else is ignorant, and so I will lead everyone. So that is the root of the problems, this kind of mentality, pride, I would say, because pride is the first and foremost demoniac quality. And yeah, I mean, with little bit of achievements in the Hare Krishna world, because, you know, there are very few professional people around, we can become very proud of ourselves. But look at me, I am such a great man, why people are not worshipping me, why people are not following me. But the professional devotees understand that I'm not meant to be like that, to be worshipped. I'm meant to serve. Professionals, yes. I explained that professional means one who knows how to, you know, one who knows how to behave and one who knows how to deal with others. And non-professional means doesn't know how to behave and doesn't know how to deal with others. Well, not necessarily. At least madhyamadhikari, that would be good enough.
Maybe you can take the discussion.
Sure,
you know, so
yes.
It's,
of course.
You know, it's going. Sure.
Maharaj. Just a few words. Thank you. Prabhu, if I understood you, you are living in Vrindavan. Beautiful place. So, you bring in holy names to people. My perspective is how to grow people from zero to, let's say, to Madhyama. So you represent beautiful exception of holy name. It's nice. Maharaj traveling over all world and represent how to grow people and to preach to people holy name. And I am Grihamedhi, live just in house and care about bills. So try to grow my son and to preach around. So for me, this word professional, meaning to be qualified to talk to people. Because, for example, American people, quite educated people, if you talk to them in mood, I will teach you, they not accept this. So need qualities, need real qualities of human, and need intelligence how to represent this. And Radhanath Maharaj, it was several years ago here, big festival of preachers in North America. He mentioned that now, and he very sure that convinced that possible to preach all level of society, social levels of society, but should know how to preach. It's mean to be qualified or professional in certain area, in niche. So, and in, like Radhanath Maharaj says, now possible to preach everybody, but know how to preach, how to talk to people. Need certain intelligence and little bit different view, mean approach.
Okay, so I think it should be final one and we should stop there.
You mentioned reputation. Just so there's no misunderstanding about the 100 buses having a chance to take over the government, in a memories tape from somebody speaking with Prabhupada, he mentions that this government taking over, predicting, is from so many people getting Prabhupada's books, people becoming more educated, more purified, and thus wanting Krishna-conscious leaders. So I just want to clarify that. I didn't mean brute force or our own
sure.
superior thing
yes.
like that. But just from simply educating people, I think what you're doing is beyond wonderful.
All right. Okay. Thank you. So we should stop here. Krantara Chumad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Nitai Gopemanande.
His Holiness B.R. Sagar Maharaj Ki Jai.
Samadeta Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai.
Thank you, Maharaj. Also, like to extend our gratitude for you being here, Maharaj. Today is Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. I'd also like to welcome Paramananda Prabhu and the RBC devotees. Nice to have you here. Welcome Govinda Prabhu. And we have the celebrations for Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's disappearance starting at 11:30. So if you guys are around, we'll be very happy to have you here. Thank you so much. Today is fasting till noon. So, you know, hope you stay for lunch also. Thank you. Thank you, Maharaj.
Thank you. Hare Krishna.